secret sin, reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be.
Let's mark our song books at number 692. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 563.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power,
there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power, wonder-working power
in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to Thee for Your Son, the sacrifice that You made of Him for us. We thank You for the cleansing power of His blood. We thank You for the Word that has been left for us to study, to pattern our lives by. Thank You for our health, and pray for the many who have been mentioned this day as being ill in so many different ways. And please watch over them and comfort them. We thank You, Father, for all the love You shower upon us daily. Please guide our steps through the remainder of this day and the remainder of our lives. May we always be an example to others about us. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the way that we walk among people, we meet people that are already very angry in life, and they bestow to us an example that they don't care if we are liking it or not. They want to be the way that they are. There are people who are in depressions. They're in sadnesses and the like, and as a result of that, they find themselves going that way no matter what you may say or do. What did God tell us to do with such people in their anger, in their ways, in their depressions, in their ways, and so forth and so on? There are various times of life in which they're sad, bereaved. There are times in life when they're exceedingly happy and joyous. What can we say to people in a time like that that might direct them back to the ways of God and the things of God? In Proverbs chapter 22, there are a number of things stated that tell us about the ways of life and how that we can have the benefits of life. He tells us a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. He continues on in Proverbs 22 verse 3 to say something that he says later on in Proverbs 27. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Then he says, by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, those who are perverse, who go out of the way. He that doth his soul, keep his soul, shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The way of life is said to be from youth, guiding and teaching and guiding and showing them example is a big, big thing. And as a result of that way of life, the opportunity for children to become people who really are helpful to others and not harmful to others. When we talk about life and being people who serve the cause of God, we're talking about people who love the Lord. And as he says here in Proverbs 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. When I go to speak at various school functions and college functions of young people, and I get the opportunity to speak at banquets where they are involved with people who are athletes and things like that, I'll often bring up this idea in Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. And I asked the question, how many of you desire to have riches? Oh, every hand goes up. Honor, every hand stays up. How many of you desire to live a long time? Every hand stays up. And I say, when you do that, it comes from being humble before the Lord and respectful of the Lord. That brings you riches, honor, and life. Are you humble before the Lord? Are you willing to be taught by Him? Are you willing to be guided by His Word and His direction? That's what Paul says in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And thus Paul is saying, I'm living that way now. I'm exalted that way. And he was willing to listen to what the Lord had to say. In Acts chapter 9, we read where Saul of Tarsus was met on the road to Damascus by the Lord himself. And how the Lord stopped him on that road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It has been noted by various scholars and various students of counseling that the Lord may have been the only one that could have stopped Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and asked him such a question. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because Saul was such a vicious man, such an ungodly kind of angry man at that point in time in his life. He was grateful that the Lord showed him mercy. Because later on in Acts chapter 24, Paul will say, I lived such a life as was rejecting God. But I had mercy of the Lord. And because of that mercy he extended to me, it changed my way of life. Mercy of God can be taught to people as well as actually said by the Lord himself. And thus he said, my word will save you. And when Paul says to the brethren there at Rome, don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to to the Jew first and also the Greek. You need to believe God's word in order to be saved from sin and to be the kind of righteous person that the Lord wants him to be. When we talk about this humility and fear of the Lord, we're talking about riches, honor, and life that can come to a person in that way. It is said in Proverbs 17:17 that we are to make true friendships, that they last forever and ever. A true friend loveth at all times. And there is a friend that is born that is even closer than your brother. I think a number of folks here in this congregation can say that about somebody that was not exactly in their family, but they were there nevertheless in this way of life, where the way of life was being pursued, and as a result of that pursuit, there was true friendship. And when true friendship is there, it doesn't perish, it doesn't stop, it doesn't cease. True friendship goes on and on, because it's built on love. And later on, Paul will write in 1 Corinthians 13, guided by the Spirit of God, that love never fails. Love is that which is true and accurate, does not behave itself unseemly, is not full of evil doing, but seeketh to do that which is good and helpful. Love never fails. And that love that is described there of a friend is a friend who loveth at all times. And because he is a friend that loves at all time, or she is a friend that loves at all time, means that we can offend them at times, and they are free to tell us, wait a minute, you're saying something bad and wrong to me. You're saying something too loud or too angry toward me. And as a result of that, they will see that that love that we have for them has been there all the time, that we did not reply to them in angry words and angry ways. There was only one person that I did that to in the church. And one particular day I said to that man loudly, so he would be able to hear. He wouldn't be listening at any other time, I thought. And I said loudly, what I'm saying to you is true and accurate. And you can open your Bible and read it for yourself. And it calmed the man down. And he thought just a minute and he said, you know, the Bible tells me, make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his way and get a snare to thine own soul. It's in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. And the description is of someone who practices an angry way of life. And here's a person who makes a friendship with that angry individual without any consideration of what they're doing in life. And I'll gain a snare in my life that will hurt me and harm me. I don't need to practice that way of life. It says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer or gentle answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So when you expect someone to respond to loud and harsh and angry words, then they're going to respond in like kind to it. But if in fact you go with soft words, with gentle words, that explain to an individual that there's a way of talking that the Bible tells us that we should pursue. It's in Proverbs 15 at verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And I don't want you to continue to practice that way of life that God didn't tell us to follow. He didn't tell us that that's the way to do things. It's a wonderful blessing to have in life, to have the Word of God to direct us as to we talk and be with angry people. What about being with sorrowful people? The Apostle Paul addressed the thought and ideas regarding that in 1 Thessalonians 4, going on into chapter 5, in which he says regarding those that are in times of sorrow, that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Our sorrow is to be a sorrow of loss, of course, and of desperation know in the fact that we go on in life. Because we're going to go on in life and follow the way of God rather than to follow their way of life and go down to the grave. We're going to be people who follow the way of God and continue to do that, and they trust us that when they leave us, we'll be following the right way of the Lord. When we find that way to do, we'll do it right. Back in Proverbs 15 at 22, he tells us, without counsel, your purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they become well established. When you find an individual in life, Proverbs 15 to 22, that says, I don't want any instruction, I don't want any information, then of course, that person is headed toward hurt and harm. That person is headed toward a way that they know all of it, and I won't be told anything further. Without counsel, your purpose is disappointed. How many a person has gone on in life to say, I can deal with that car, I can deal with that particular problem in that automobile, I'll just go on and do it in my life, and have the right answers? What about a man who goes to a parts place and asks regarding a situation that he's facing with automobile? He explains the situation of the sound of it, and explains the thing that he believes that might be replaced that will help that situation. And there's advice given by the man behind the counter. There's advice given to him by somebody standing by him as what he did to say, keep the sound of that automobile from having the sound he talked about. Well, that can be changed. And as a result of that, that person goes on in life and learns in the multitude of counselors. His purpose is well established. But without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And when we find ourselves not having good counsel and good information, then we are going to have disappointment and unhappiness in life. I want to read to you now some case histories, without names attached and without locations where they were, that I worked on back through the years. This has been well over 50 years ago. The little book that I wrote about counseling yourself to a way of life, 1986, was enough years to see that it goes by a long time ago. And before that time was when these things took place. And I mentioned about the situation that I gave in chapter 19 of my book, Case Histories. And I'd like to read to you two or three of these case histories, and you see your response to it. Here are the people involved: a father, a mother, a college-age son, and the son's girlfriend. The situation is, the son calls home one day to announce to his mom that his live-in girlfriend off campus, while he's at college, is going to come home with him for the summer. She is going to live in his old bedroom with him, and she'll be no problem, extra problem, trouble in the housekeeping. The problem is that the mom and dad are not agreeable to this forced lifestyle. What are they going to do? Alienate their son, whom they love, and wish that he would not have this lifestyle? Allow the son and girlfriend to live together in the old bedroom this summer? When I was called on to come and visit with them and talk with them about this situation, we first talked to the values of the parents. Did they value such an arrangement? And they gave a resounding no in response to that. The next point I made was whether their son knew that they did not value this lifestyle. Why would he have felt so comfortable in calling them and asking them about this particular situation for the summer to develop? What would be the situation? They replied that they did. They thought that he understood. They further stated that they couldn't understand why he would force this upon them. I suggested their son appeared to be like the young man of Proverbs chapter 7, who lacked wisdom and understanding. and like that person without understanding, was finding himself to be a changed person in life. And as a result, our father suggested that their giving in to this request and for the summer would be, according to Proverbs 19:19, to have to do over and over and over again. When a person is not responsive to respecting your word, and you just look the other way, then they'll do what they do again and again and again. And so, particular thing, I noted that in the Bible, it's a standard, and such as a live-in arrangement, and suggested their son was a dishonorable practitioner of that way of life. According to Hebrews 13 and verse 4, that's not the way of life to live. Therefore, for his own good of life and soul, they couldn't find themselves in fellowship with such a situation as listed there without falling into dishonor with God. And after our discussion, they went home to, as they said, think about it for a while. The son and his girlfriend came home that summer. It's a follow-up. Beer was placed in their refrigerator for the first time that summer by him. The son dropped out of college for the fall semester to work some, stayed home, and the girlfriend stayed home too. Mom and Dad became too embarrassed to attend church worship services and explained any of the rumors to the congregation's worship and explained any of this, how to get straightened out before too long. And they decided to tell others, and me included, maybe we can get things straightened out before too long, was their response. That's the last time that they had a conversation with me. Another situation of a father, mother, high school age son, and a junior high daughter. The son was very athletic, had a liquor drinking problem, and the father and mother didn't know it. The daughter did know, but hadn't said anything about it. And after a tragic accident one Friday night, after a post-game celebration, I was called to discuss the situation, asking the son if he were aware of the deception of alcohol listed in Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And its enslaving grip is described by Solomon in that passage of Proverbs chapter 20. I was surprised to hear that till last Friday night, I helped it pretty well. I helped out. I held it in pain. I observed that last Friday night and the description of Proverbs chapter 20 looked a lot alike to me, because it takes charge of you, it takes control of you. He replied, maybe. Trying to listen wasn't easy for me, as he wasn't saying much about it. I suggested that if a person doesn't learn from a situation or mistake, then he's like the person of Proverbs 27 at verse 12, who foresees danger ahead and guards himself. But if without guarding yourself, you'll be getting into that trouble again and again and again as you see the danger up ahead. And there's danger involved in liquor drinking, of course. No one can actually make someone do a certain thing from his heart till he wants to do it. Parents can often make the body of a youth to be a certain thing, and sometimes they must instruct their children about the value of the soul. And wisdom says to listen to instruction, Proverbs 15:32. And wisdom says that happiness follows understanding and knowledge. And where counsel is essential to recovery from a situation, they followed my advice. Counsel was sought of more professional nature. The AA organization gained 4 more members, where others who faced the same tragedies could share success accounts. And thus in Proverbs 13, verse 20, it tells us that the son gradually recovered in this situation. It's a happy and good thing that happened. Case 3 that I wrote about was about the father, a daughter, who was a teenage daughter. They lived at home after his wife had passed away. And she grew up somewhat after her mother died. And she was an unprofessional thief. She went to stores and shoplifted. She did her best to hide it and protect herself from being discovered. And she was a shoplifter. The father was constantly called upon to make good the debts and also the thefts of the daughter. And he went to the stores and asked them what was the price of something. And they knew that it happened. And they told him, and he paid it off for her. By and by, the father gave me a call, and I met the father. He assured me that he had, in his words, beaten, grounded, practically hogtied his daughter to keep her from being dishonest and stealing. And all the efforts were made to no avail. Exasperated, what could he now do? I called attention to the consistency of wrongdoing and how that Ecclesiastes 8 verses 11 through 13 said, because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, the hearts of the sons of men fully set them to do that which is evil. Because there's no punishment that comes about properly done in a speedy way. I further asked if this daughter resembled the person of Ecclesiastes 8, and he turned his head away as though he didn't hear me. I asked if any apology had ever been done to the persons from whom she had stolen, as well as paying them back for the stolen item. Did she go with him and apologize to the person that she stole from their company, stole from their stores, stole that thing from her? I asked if Proverbs 28:13 resembled any of his daughter's actions. And he said, yes, it does. And I asked if he thought that next time he'd benefit greatly by carrying her along with him and having her to apologize for the troubles and problems that she had created at that store. He replied something that shocked me then and shocked me today. He said, I couldn't ask her to apologize to somebody. He said, preacher, I couldn't even do that myself. I was shocked by that. The follow-up in this situation, the daughter didn't get better. She got worse. She was embarrassed on numerous occasions, and finally she married, divorced again, and then again. She resembled a nervous wreck the last time that I saw her, but had several little children following her along down the street. Tears came to my eyes then and now as I thought about the future of those little children. Why would I be concerned about the future of those little children when the example of their mom and her willing to shoplift things without any apology, what would they be doing in life? I don't know all the follow-up of that, but I know some of the follow-ups of that. She ended up in jail as a person who is one of the very first that I heard of in these particular terms by a judge. Habitual criminal. She was a habitual thief. A habitual stealing from a company, shoplifting. And how that she was that way, habitual criminal. And thus, she was taken away. The children had grown up by that time enough they were big enough to be put into special homes as teenagers. And that's where they were lost touch with what happened to them in life. These particular accounts are things that happen to people in life when they are unwilling to listen and unwilling to respond. Let's hope and pray that our children do respond to us as they are angry, that they practice gentle words that turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let's hope and pray that they do not. Let's be people in the depressed situation and sad situation, as was the dad that I mentioned here at the end, who instead of saying, "I couldn't do apologies to somebody myself," that he would realize that the value of that statement made in Proverbs 28 is of help to his life. Obviously, there was good that could come if he would have changed his way of life and talked with her in regard to how difficult it was at that point in time for him to change his role in life and become apologetic along with her as to what was happening in that store where shoplifting was being done. Sad it is that that kind of situation would go on and on, and Mom would end up a habitual criminal and be in prison for a number of years and not even be around those children growing up, because she would be such a bad influence upon them. They were influenced by somebody in Christian homes. And in one by one, I know of those little children becoming servants of God and Christians, one a gospel preacher even today. And he would never would have had it happen had he been around her all those years. What a blessing. He got out of preaching the gospel for a time. Got disappointed in the circumstances. People wouldn't listen to him, as he said. And as a result of that, he got out. One night, not too many years ago, during the holiday time, toward the end of the year, I got a call from him. He still had my telephone number and he still called me. He said, "Brother Austin, I want to tell you, I want you to be one of the first to know that I've had the Lord to change my life. I asked the Lord to forgive me for failing to do what I ought to be doing and preaching His word." And he told me he's living down in the state of Florida now. And he was going to church services there at a congregation. I said, "Well, knowing your ability," he was a wonderful, wonderful teacher, wonderful speaker. He had the ability to just read something and just knew it. Just remember it. He could see it in his mind on the page where it was. Now if I turned the page from him, he would say, "Whoa, whoa," and he'd turn the page back. He wanted to keep that page in his mind and that page away. I wanted to be in his heart, of course. And I'd interrupt the preachers who were preaching in order to keep it in their heart, keep their concentration going within the heart. And I said to him, "Billy," I said, "I believe that you know what I'm fixing to say. That congregation where you're visiting now is going to be well aware of your abilities. And they're going to be asking you to teach the young people's classes and talk with them and so forth and so on. And fill in preaching when the preacher's gone." And he said, "Brother Lawson, I can't believe that you would know that.
I said, I know from God's word what about it. And he said, they have already begun to ask my help in class and ask me to fill in for when the preacher's gone. And that's why I'm calling you. I was thrilled and happy about the fact and that's the last time I've talked with him about it. But I'm glad that that took place in his life. May God bless us all as we follow his word and guiding people that are in a time of depression or a time of anger, out of control, violent behavior, to make a change in the way of life that they're doing. The Lord will forgive us and care for us. If you accept Jesus' invitation tonight, remember that in Acts chapter 8, Simon said, was told, in repenting and praying, he could have forgiveness of the past and a new life begun. And this is the way of a new life. Would you come as we stand there, as we sing together?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portal, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening tonight, the study we tried to do. Appreciate you so very much. Wish you a very happy Thanksgiving time.
Do we have any other sacrifice for us.
We ask you to guide God and direct us and forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.